I am not a prophet. I'm a Bible student. So we're going to discuss and show you. And so God early on is just putting him right on notice that, guess what? You think you own the land. You don't. In fact, it goes well beyond that. And this kind of sets forth the basic principle of the Jubilee, right? That was a resetting that occurred on a periodic basis. And the Lord is saying, you know, this is a principle with me as well, and pay attention. You know, the world really, in its largest sense, belongs to God, obviously. He created it. He's the master. He's the potter, and he can form it however he would like. In Psalm 24:1, we read, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So what he's saying here is God owns the land, God owns the people, God owns everything. And when it came to his people, what don't you understand? I'm in charge, I own it all, and I can allocate it however I would like. And this is an important principle for us as well. We need to fully endorse that God can allocate the land, his people, and everything however he wants. And in fact, we acquiesce to his will, and his plan is superior to anything any of us collectively or individually could do. And so everything is the Lord's. This is an important framework as we see the events of our day. The tragedies of our day, the injustices of our day, realize God's in charge, he has a plan, and whatever his division is will be more than satisfactory. In fact, it'll be perfect. And so the question is, well, what is this land that he's talking about? And of course, early on he said, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. And so it was a special relationship which with what would become the nation of Israel. Not yet, but it was an early promise. And early on, he gives us boundaries, and those are defined in Genesis, first book of the Bible, in the 15th chapter. And he says there, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And so he defines boundaries. Now, I know what you're thinking. Is that the right river? Well, let's look at it a little deeper. There is a brook of Egypt and there is the river of Egypt. And they are two different words. So whenever he's talking about the river of Egypt, it is Strong's 5104. That is a permanent water course, in which case you know it doesn't dry up. It's a permanent waterway. And when he's talking about the brook of Egypt, it's always Strong's 5158. And that is a stream or a wadi. And I don't have a picture of it, but it dries up. So it's a non-permanent water course. Unfortunately, King James renders both of them as river. No distinction. And therefore, we could have some confusion if we didn't go back to Strong's. But what we find out is the promises to Abram are to the permanent water course, the River Nile, as we call it today. And the promises to Moses and Ezekiel, and we're going to look at these, are to the wadi or stream of Egypt, the brook of Egypt. You know, there's another way that he defines the boundaries of the land that they're to be given. So it goes beyond just rivers. He also tells us about all the peoples. And these were nomadic people, so these are not clearly defined borders. You can't draw an exact line on a map, but look at the areas in which the various people, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, and so forth. So we see on the map there, this is the region that they were talked to. So he didn't just give them boundary geographical features, but he also said, this is the area where these peoples, these nomadic people roam. So he describes the land that they're to receive by their occupants. Now, why didn't he just tell them this longitude, this latitude to here? You know, this was very soft. Realize in this early time, these were all nomadic people, so they didn't have a house and a lot line and a plat. None of that stuff existed. They wandered to where there was water and there was food for their flocks. We also realize that, you know, we can look at the land described for Abraham by his travels. And we know that he went all the way from Ur of Chaldees all the way to the Nile. And so he was familiar with the land he was to inherit. So God knew the land that he was going to give Abraham, and he also made sure that Abraham experienced it. Now, I don't know how many of you have looked at a map versus going to a place and then walking around and seeing it. It's a completely different experience, isn't it? Even if you have a movie of it, you know, when we went to Israel, when we went to locations, they became real in our minds. I remember vividly those locations. And that's what God was doing here. He's giving him the lay of the land. So he knew it intimately. And interestingly, the far western border of this region he was familiar with is marked by the Great Pyramid, the plan of God in stone that is really going to stand for eternity. And how appropriate when he's defining these boundaries. Now, the boundaries that God gave for Abram before he became Abraham are found in Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. And they go from the river of Egypt, permanent water course, all the way to the Euphrates. And then he continues to define, so that is always the permanent river. In this case, to the Sea of the Philistines, which we understand, today we would call it the Mediterranean, to the Red Sea. A little problem there. It's a little ambiguous, isn't it? The Sea of the Philistines is a clear delineation. But the Red Sea, not so much. And this has been a topic of discussion amongst Bible students and scholars. Exactly what does that mean? So the southern border is rather vague. Well, here are some possibilities of what these borders will ultimately be. A, kind of more what we think of as Israel today, but expanded on it to Lebanon and Syria. How many like A? B, somewhat broader. It's going all the way from the Nile to the Euphrates, but not going down the Red Sea a whole lot. Or C, it could be this expansive all the way down the Nile to the lower part of the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. Which one is it? This will be one of your topics of discussion during lunch. I'm not going to tell you because I don't have an answer. The Lord gave us these boundaries. What we do know for sure is that their borders are going to grow from what they are today. We can say that with absolute certainty. I'm not sure we can say A, B, or C with absolute certainty. And quite frankly, we don't necessarily need to know those details, or the Lord would have given them to us. The Lord said, because they were a special people, that he would give him this land. They would give it. And that's repeated over and over and over again in Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, and even Acts. So this is definitely a confirmed promise. It's not once. It's not twice. It's about 15 times this promise is given. So, who owns the land of Israel? There should be no question in our minds. It's not different factions, different ethnic groups. It's the Jews. That's what God has given them. And we need to be real clear on this. Why do we need to be clear on this? Well, especially with our young people who are being influenced strongly now that there is a Palestinian cause. And that is I'm not discounting the cause. I'm not discounting the agony and the suffering that they're going through. But God says, the land is mine. And it goes to my people. So ultimately, we have to make sure that we stay focused on that fact. The only thing that's going to fix this totally messed up world that we've got now is God's kingdom. And he's going to take care of everything. And by the way, ultimately, it will exceed everyone's expectations. Even those that now are clamoring for land, he's going to give them land, but not where they think. And it would be an inheritance forever. So unlike land today, that goes from owner to owner and gets subdivided and consolidated and sold and, you know, all the things we do, this is a permanent inheritance. It will not change. Those lot lines are not going to change. So it's a divine land grant that's been given, and we need to be absolutely clear on this and absolutely focused when we talk about Israel. This is God's plan, and we're totally on board. It's defined by geographic features, by peoples, and by travels. But it's a little fuzzy. We're going to look at why. And it is a perpetual inheritance, so it'll never change once it's fully established. That'll be it. No more border disputes. You know, most wars in the world today are over resources or borders. They want more land. They want more resources. And God's saying, that's not going to happen anymore. Everything's going to be set. Now, there are also another set of promises on the boundaries. And these are made to Moses. We'll start with Moses. And let's look at the promises to Moses. And this is when, of course, they were going into the promised land. And Joshua, I will drive them out before the Israelites. Be sure to allocate this land for Israel for an inheritance, as I have instructed you. So he told them exactly what the purpose was. He's going to drive out the people. They had to help. They had to be obedient. But he would do that for them. And the land would be their inheritance, not the previous occupants. And he did this as a process. So little by little, he drove them out, and he drove them out before them. But once again, if you don't obey God, he's not going to take care of you in the same way as if you did. So why did he drive them out? Well, obviously, there was a problem with the people of the land. Why can't we all just live together? That's what we say today, right? Why can't we just get along? Well, the problem was that the people that were there worshiped Baal. And he said, if you allow them to stay, they will cause you, Israel, to sin against me. It's bad influence. You know, when you're in school, I know when our kids were in high school, we said, make good choices on your friends because they're going to influence you. And if you get in with a bad crowd, guess what? You're probably going to be influenced. And it's not going to turn out nice. And this was our hope and prayer as our children went through those stages and now our grandchildren and so forth. And it was the same principle with Israel. They will cause you, because they don't have any constraints, they're going to cause you to sin against me and worship the gods that will snare you. You know, the Laodicean church, it's the god of ease and wealth and so forth, and we're right in the midst of it. One of the most affluent societies in the world. Watch out. Watch out. And that pagan correction, you know, this Deuteronomy scripture in Deuteronomy 13 was always kind of perplexed me before I studied it, because it said, go in and wipe them out. Wipe out all the people that remain. Kill their livestock. Trash everything, their idols and so forth. Burn the city and its booty with fire. Well, now when you took a city, in general, you wanted the booty. That was the whole purpose of it. So this notion of going in and just burning everything and destroying it was what God wanted them to do. We'll talk about whether they actually did that or not. But he made a promising. And that promise was that they would be an everlasting possession. They would be his people forever. As we look at Genesis 48:21, and it says, and Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die. But God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. So now he's saying, there's a new arrangement that's going to occur. I'm going to take you back into that land. And once again, God's the landowner, and he can give it to whoever he wants, but he was giving a clear directive here that this was his intention. And of course, what God says comes true. So it wasn't just an intention. It was true. Now, you know, in the book of Numbers, in verses 1 through 34, 1 through 12, we're really given the boundaries. I don't know about you, but I like pictures. So, in red here is the current boundaries of Israel. But the promise to Moses in these verses is as follows. And so, you can follow along. So, he gives them the land of Canaan. And once again, that's a land, so that's kind of nebulous, but it goes right around, and you can see the yellow border going up the Mediterranean Sea. Oops, man, that went way far north of where Israel is today, didn't it? All the way up into Lebanon and Syria. But this was the borders, and so all we can do is he gave us cities, mountains, regions, and defined rivers and seas. And those we can trace. So this is the general outline of Israel as the land as described to Moses and promised to Moses. So that's pretty interesting. And then we have God's promises to Ezekiel, which are similar. And this was after the, at the end of the Babylonian captivity. And we find this in Ezekiel 47 verses 13 through 20. And this similarly uses cities, regions, and seas. And so as we see, we start with the Great Sea, the Mediterranean, and we continue on around. And now the purple line represents the boundaries as defined to Ezekiel. Kind of interesting, isn't it? So we've overlaid this once again with the current boundaries. And what you notice is it goes quite a bit farther north than the current borders of Israel in red. Now, are these two the same? That's a pretty legitimate question, isn't it? And here we have an overlay of those two boundaries as defined. And since they use waypoints and cities and regions, we really see that it's the same area being described here. It's just some of the land points were slightly different. And so there are some variations on the very top and bottom, but basically we got the same description for Moses and for Ezekiel. So this is a double confirmation that this is what the borders are to be. And along with this, he said, okay, these are your border, but there's some forbidden areas. And why are they forbidden? Because as it says in Deuteronomy, He said, I have given Mount Seir to Esau, Edom, as a possession. So that was already promised. Are you okay with that? Well, what God promises is fine with us, right? We shouldn't doubt that. And these were some restrictions that God said because, you know, they would naturally want to expand the land. And God was saying, nope, this is a special exemption. I have given it to Esau. And therefore, respect that. Don't even take a footstep there. And then there were some other areas in Deuteronomy 2:9. It says, do not harass Moab. You know, so just like today, the norm was that you would try to impinge on others' borders because they had nice crops or nice water source or a fertile valley or whatever it would be. And so he gave allocations to Moab and Ammon, and of course the one we had for Edom. So he said, stay away from that area. This is in the area now I think we call Jordan. So, bottom line is there were promised borders. They're not exactly the border of Israel today, are they? There are some exceptions. But there was a problem. They didn't fully claim the land. And they didn't purge the people. And they didn't burn everything when they came in. So they didn't obey God. They did in some respects, but not fully. So why the difference between Abraham's promise and Moses's? Well, we think they're actually two different pictures. And we think the Moses and Ezekiel applies more to our day. And Abraham, ultimately in the kingdom, the borders may expand. And he says, go in and possess the land which the Lord your fathers swear unto you. That's what he said early on. Go in and possess it. Did they do that? In Deuteronomy 6:1-23, God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land whither thou go to possess it. So he's saying, go and possess it. Did they do that? Well, they did to a degree, but not fully. Do that which is right. Go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. They didn't fully do that. That's the discrepancy that we're seeing here. And he didn't do it. So go in and get the land that I swear to your fathers. So what's the difference? Well, it talks about, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you. You shall possess the greater nations and mightier than yourselves. So despite the political and military differences, the Lord's going to be your general and it's going to be okay. And then the key. Every place whereon the soles of thy feet shall tread shall be yours. They didn't fully claim the promise. They didn't claim all the land that God had given them. So he did exactly what they said. Where they settled, that was the land that became their land. Because they didn't fulfill this. They didn't fully exploit the land that God had given them lease on. And God did exactly what he said he would do. That land was theirs. But guess what? Short term, they forfeited that. So Israel's disobedience. Remember, they didn't want to come into the promised land. There are mighty men there. We can't go in. And as a result, they had 40 years in the wilderness. They were told to wipe out the peoples. They didn't consistently do that. They were told that to slay those that were pagan. They didn't do that. And they were told to take all the land that was given them. And they didn't do that. So God gave them exactly as he had said, wherever your feet go, that's going to be your land. And they negotiated with the land, which they continue to do even down to our day, to try to appease the forces to be. Now, the important takeaways. God assigned land rights. So he assigned it to the Israel, Moab, Edom, and so forth. So that's his right. God purges the inhabitants he doesn't want there. He commanded that they avoid being involved with pagans. And when we looked at it, the Moses and Ezekiel borders were basically the same and are close to the borders of the current situation. But as we know, everything's in play right now, isn't it? And he said this was for an everlasting possession. So this is forever, perpetual inheritance. There's a regathering to take place. And will Israel's borders, will they change prior to Jacob's trouble? Well, let's see. And once again, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures, and this is one talk where the remainder of the talk, I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures and I'm not necessarily going to tell you because we got a panel this afternoon. And by the way, some of the panelists have different thoughts on different scriptures. So we're going to have a lively time, but this is good. This is good. It gets us thinking and also introduces us to thoughts that can cause aha moments. I had a couple of aha moments. So, what will the borders be in the kingdom? Well, You know, when we look prophetically, there's this regathering period that we're in now, the regathering, Jerusalem being reclaimed, opposition being neutralized, peace and safety, and then suddenly Gog and Magog. Whether that's a physical attack or something else, we'll discuss this afternoon. And then there's the purification phase, and we think this is when we go back to those Abrahamic borders. The land will be converted. The new covenant will be established. The land will be restored. There'll be a second regathering. And then all will notice that those that come to the Jews, that come to Jerusalem, are blessed. And when they don't, they won't be. And so they're going to learn pretty quick. And so bottom line is, we know that there will be expansion. You know, in 1878, we had the Valley of Anchor and the Door of Hope, Petah Tikva. Brief history lessons, right? Just to put it in perspective. And so in that 1878 period, we had all these significant events that, by the way, exactly on time occurred in Israel. The seeds. 1947, the United Nations granted parts in the Negev, which is a desolate desert, but anyway, they granted parts of it to the Jews. And then, of course, the nation of Israel being established in 48 and 49 to make them a name and a people who were not a people for thousands of years. This is a miracle. You know, we can talk about miracles maybe this afternoon as well, but there are so many miracles with regards to Israel, but only if you watch and wait. And you have to be careful. There's a miracle that occurred on April 13th. Maybe we'll talk about it this afternoon. Brother Jim sent us some notes and a video on the miracle that happened on April 13th. Can you tell me what it is? No, wait till this afternoon. And it is a miracle when you study and you look and you listen. 1967, of course, the Six-Day War. And it said they shall be inhabited again in their own place, even Jerusalem. They took back Jerusalem. And just as recent as 2017, Trump declared Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And this caused an uproar in a lot of the Muslim world. But he did it. There are specific reasons that, you know, this one is put up or this one is put down. But, you know, this is a very significant event. And then other nations followed as well. 1978, Israel gave up land. The Lord told them not to do that, but they did it in search of peace. God didn't authorize this. I don't think that he smiled upon this. So will Israel's borders change before Jacob's trouble? I think the simplest answer is probably. We think that it will. It says he's going to enlarge them. He's going to extend all the borders of the land. That's the promise in Isaiah. But what are some of the places that are mentioned in there, and where are they on the map? Well, it talks about Gilead and Lebanon. Well, we all know where Lebanon is, right? There's Gilead. Lebanon's in the north. And remember the Ezekiel and Moses land grants? They went way up into Lebanon, didn't they? That was the most significant deviation. And Gilead, it's an interesting one. We'll talk about that this afternoon too. Are they going to go into Jordan, or is that a spiritual? Because they were spiritual tribes, is that a spiritual class? Is that a different thing? So we'll look at that. And then there's some clues to the time frame. This is kind of interesting. This is a picture of the wall in Israel. And this is between the Palestinian areas around Jerusalem. It's a very big wall. It's very formidable. And it was to prevent the Palestinians from coming and doing terrorist activities. So it kept them in their own area. Some clues. By the year 2020, the population of Israel would exceed 8 million. Check. Done. That's very populous. It was the most densely populated country on earth, which surprised me. At some point, the sixth plague, the waters will be dried up, and the day for building your walls will come. Well, they are building walls and continue to isolate because of the terrorist threat. And we know that Israel's enemies must be subdued to live in peace and safety. Have you watched the news? That's what's happening right now. I know some of the brethren say, well, I don't watch news. It's a bad influence. You need to be watching news about Israel, and there's a lot of Israeli feeds you can get as to what's actually happening today. Today. And there's a big subduing of their enemies, and also the counter to that is their implicit alliances, and they're not formalized treaties too much, but there's associations with other Muslim countries. Notice I did not say Arab, because Egypt is not Arab. Turkey is not Arab. So there's, but they are Muslim countries. So there's a lot of subtle negotiations and watching right now with the Muslim countries in the world. And of course, here we have the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, and these are two sources of aggravation. These are in the land grant, but they are not currently occupied by Israel, not in large anyway. And will the borders expand? Well, it says they'll feed in Carmel and Gilead and Bashan, rather. Now, Bashan is the Golan Heights, and we're going to show you. So they do feed in Carmel right now. There's a ridge there, and you can see down onto the very beautiful, lush valley there. And so they do feed in that area. But it continues on down just to say other places they will feed. Well, here's the Golan Heights today. Another current, relatively current event. 2019, once again, the president that the Lord said is the right man at the right time. What did he do? After 52 years, it is time for the United States to fully recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, which is critical strategic and security importance to the state and region of regional stability. So he's saying without those heights, because they overlook the Sea of Galilee and Israel, and so you're looking down, so it's very important that they control those from a military standpoint. Well, here was the plan that was put forth. They currently control the Golan Heights. It's a no man's land. In fact, I remember driving on the bus, and along the fences there's all these signs that these are minefields, so you can't go out in the beautiful field or you might get blown up. But there's a talk, too, of a three-phase process where they will expand that buffer zone. And look at it. At the top, the little dot up there is Damascus. They don't go to Damascus, but they fulfill this prophecy if they take over that region. So that's Bashan. And we'll show you overlay Bashan and Gilead. And Gilead now gets into Jordan, but we'll talk about that this afternoon. The Jewish population worldwide has really done an exodus to Israel, except for the United States. In fact, the United States has the largest population of Jews outside of Israel. And we were looking at a map last night of, you know, it's under 150,000 Jews have emigrated to Israel from the U.S. But what's happening today? There's a lot of anti-Semitism coming up. There's a lot of propaganda. There's a lot of hatred. And so there may be more of an exodus from the United States, which would fulfill the prophecies about them coming from all nations. So watch immigration from the United States to Israel. That's another thing we can watch on the news, because these are clues. But only if you watch. If you don't watch, you're going to miss it. It's going to go right by. So we think there'll be a future exodus. So we have clues to the time frame. They're feeding on Carmel. They don't currently feed on Bashan, Ephraim, and Gilead. But we think in the future, that means they would actually be able to grow things there. We think in the future that will become a reality. And all of this has to happen before the great battle. So once again, we talk about the events that's going to happen. You know, I wrote this talk originally in 2011. Of course, you update it every time you give it. And I was struck by the last sentence of this thing. According to the last, to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show you, show unto him marvelous things. And then the phrase, the nation shall see and be confounded by their might. That's the situation that's happening in Israel. And I, in my mini talk this afternoon, I'll go into that in some detail. They're being confounded by their might. The importance of that. So we see the first regathering where these things in our day are happening. And so we're to watch Israel. Very important. There's a second regathering promised. And this is really a kingdom situation. And it talks about the borders expanding, and that's consistent with those borders of Abram. And we'll just continue on down. But in God's kingdom, we realize all nations will call on the Lord and come to Jerusalem. And they will be blessed forever, and the whole earth will be filled with his glory. And that's ultimately, when we see the injustice and the brutality and everything today, that's ultimately what we need to focus on. God's kingdom is the only solution to all the world's problems. The only one. It's not any one political party. It's not any great educator. It's not any great entrepreneur. God's solution is the only solution. And the earth is God. He maketh wars to cease. Won't that be a beautiful day? Unto the end of the earth. No more war. No more death. No more sorrow. That's the vision that we're focused on, not at the noise that's happening today, but we're looking at the noise to see where we are on the stream of time and how these things are being fulfilled. We don't want to be ignorant on those things. In Isaiah 26:15, you have increased the nation, you are glorified. You have extended all the borders of the land. That's the ultimate promise of God. So in the kingdom, they will have all of these areas, they'll expand their borders, and God will do that work. And by the way, no one's going to object. It will be just, and it will be fair. And the kingdom will cover the entire earth. What a beautiful, beautiful scripture. And God is faithful to deliver. There's no one else that will promise 100%, give you 100%. God owns everything. Israel has promised the land. Their land will expand, and we should accept whatever God's choices are and watch and wait. We'll close with Psalm 41:13. Blessed be the Lord of God from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen.